Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in beautiful Miami, Florida at Sunshine PHP 2016. And my special guest is Mr. Robert McFraser. I got it right. Okay. It's always a crapshoot with me. Anyhow, Robert, it's good to have you on Voices of the Elephant. Say hi to everybody out there.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Now, you're a speaker here.
Yes.
And you're talking about Docker.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Docker and how PHP developers can use that to make better.
Sure. So Docker is a value add on the Linux container features that they've been in the kernel for a while. Mm-hmm. Docker just makes it a little bit easier to use. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted to do is basically to kind of introduce it to the people who maybe have heard it but haven't had a chance to play with it. Give it an introduction. Let them know what it is, let them know how to access it, and also let them know the cool things that they can do once they actually kind of embrace this technology. It's pretty cool. On its face, you see a lot of Docker being used to move or to propagate code and to make that code propagation process easier. Mm-hmm. But that's not all that it can be used for. It can totally be used to make the development process easier. And it can also be used in the test and debugging phases as well. Imagine not ever having to say, well, it works on my machine. Well, Docker can help in that a lot. Mm-hmm. So I just want to kind of bring that out to the PHP community.
It's very interesting. Yeah, I've got a friend of mine, Laura Thompson, who works at Mozilla. And she's famous for saying one time, one of her developers said, well, it works on my laptop. She says, well, clean your laptop. It's now going into production.
Right. So, you know. Right.
But, yeah, containers are very interesting because I see a lot of people just saying, well, we're going to run each service in a separate container. But to me, the real value is what you're saying, is I can create my entire environment in a container, use it on my development, and then recreate it in test, in staging, in production, everything. So
absolutely.
You know, and I used to work at Pantheon. Oh. And that was their business model. They would, right. If you set up a website, they spun you up three containers. You got development, you got test, and you got production. And they gave you the tool set to just move stuff up and down the line.
Right.
And that's when I became infatuated with them. But you're right. Now, containers, the hooks have been in the Linux kernel for
some
time.
Oh, yeah. Long time.
It irritates me that Apple doesn't have better support for it. You know, it's like, it's so close, but it's just not quite
there yet.
So, well, that's very cool. Now, do you give this talk often? Is this your first conference? Or
no, I gave this talk at the Pacific Northwest PHP conference.
That's right, you did. I saw you there.
And it went over pretty well. And so Adam saw me there, and he said, hey, I want you to come down to Sunshine and do that talk down here as well. So I was happy to come down and do it here as well.
Very cool. Well, Docker is not the only high-end product that you work with and that you're familiar with. You've done technical editing on a couple of books on Cassandra.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what is Cassandra, what does it do, how does it help me as a developer?
Sure. So Cassandra basically is a column-based key store. So you're basically flip the script. So I guess for development up until a few years ago, you had one level of persistence, and that was going to a relational database. Mm-hmm. And you danced around and did all kind of tricks to make that relational database work for your application. Mm-hmm. Well, Cassandra gives you the ability to have a non-relational store. So I have a key value store, which, if you understand the benefits, can really increase performance, write and read performance of your application. There are drawbacks. You know, you don't have all the nice joins and all the features that a relational database give you. So as long as your application is aware and you're aware of that, you can get some pretty tremendous scaling when you're using a Cassandra database or any kind of key store database.
Yeah, you don't have relations and all that, but then again, you don't have the overhead that gives you
too.
You know, there's a price to pay for that.
Yes.
That performance or for that. So, well, that's very cool. And you edited, or you've been the technical editor for which publisher?
Yeah, this is for PAC Publishing. Okay. And I did the one on the Introduction to Administration for Cassandra, and then another book on data modeling for Cassandra.
Oh, very cool.
And it's interesting that when you look at a key store or any kind of non-relational story, usually you have to do the opposite of what you've been trained for in a relational. So in a relational store, I build my table, and then I write my queries.
Mm-hmm.
In non-relational, I figure out my query, and then I build my structure to support my query.
Yes.
So it kind of flips it on its head.
Yep.
Relational, you normalize. Non-relational, denormalize.
Heavily
for right throughput.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's you know, you kind of flip the script on it a little bit to kind of make it work for you.
Yeah, you're right. In relational databases, you figure out the answer and then you have the questions, you know, but in key stores, you figure out what questions you want to answer and then that gives you the answer you want in your table.
It sure does.
Well, that is very cool. Now, is Cassandra difficult to administer?
You know, it's a little bit different. I think you're thinking a little bit more about the system versus what you have to when you're doing a MySQL store. So
yeah.
I think about memory because the query comes into memory. It's not written to disk immediately. It's flushed to disk after a little while. So I have to worry about that. I have to worry about my my log, which is where your queries go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I need to worry about backups. And it's just a little bit different. And because I have a cluster, and that cluster can grow, I can drop a new server in there, and then the cluster has to be able to talk and seed data.
Mm.
So if I drop one in, it's going to seed itself to catch up from the data that's already there, and then now it's a part of the cluster. So it's just a little bit different. I wouldn't say difficult, just different.
Okay. Well, very cool, very cool. Well, I want to, before I let you go, you're a musician.
Yes.
Talk to us. There's a correlation between programming and music.
Yes.
I understand that because a lot of developers are musicians, but you're more than just a, you do more than just play an instrument. Talk to us about your passion for music.
Sure. I was in the military and I was in England a little ways back when techno was king, and I really fell in love with electronic dance music, EDM.
Mm-hmm.
I really fell in love with that, and so I tinker around and play around on computers, and I like sequence out music at home to the benefit and to the dismay of my wife sometimes.
Yeah, well, You might do that, but it is absolutely better than the dismay of my wife, who I try to play instruments every now and then. I went there for about a month trying to learn how to play the trumpet, and eventually the family had an intervention. Anyhow, well, I want to thank you for being on Voices of the Elephant. Before I let you go, what's your local user group and what's the URL?
Sure. Local user group in Seattle is CPHP,
mm-hmm.
and that's URL, cphp.com. We'll get you there.
Yeah,
check
that's
us
a,
out.
That's a good group. I know Tessa Moreau is in the leadership over there. And I've actually spoke at that group back right before Pacific Northwest.
All right.
So
great.
Very good group. Well, Robert, thank you for being on Voices of the Elephant. And because you're about to get up and go speak, thank you for putting yourself out there and sharing what you know so that all of us can be better developers.
Oh, you're welcome. This is great. This, from the amount of benefit that I've received from the community, this is a no-brainer, and this is a pleasure for me to do.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.